Hello, Ryan here, and you're listening to the podcast version of the radio show Fastlane, which is broadcast live 4 to 6 every Monday on Cork City Community Radio with myself, Ryan Jones, and my co-host Sean Collins. But unfortunately, Sean wasn't with us this week, so it was me hosting the show with a guest co-host who is actually a show regular, Rachel. And this is also a bittersweet show for Rachel as well, because it was her first time guest co-hosting. But this is also was her last show before she jets off to New York. From the brand new Barbie movie to Taylor Swift tickets, we also spoke about the fact that people's kids also do grow up. And we also had an interview with the band Elby about their brand new single, Hazy, and also their music. Now, if you're enjoying the podcast and would like to listen to us live, you can do this by going to Cork City Community Radio's website every Monday, 4 to 6, and press the Listen Live button. Or, if you live in Cork City itself, you can tune in to 100.5 FM. Now, like always, all music has been edited out due to copyright, as well as any of the station's announcements. So please enjoy this week's show.
Driving down the bypass to have a laugh, it's Fastlane with Ryan Jones and Sean Collins.
Guess who's back in town? It is me, Ryan Jones, back in the hot seat for Fastlane. The date is the 17th of July, 2023. It's 4 o'clock and I'm here till 6 o'clock. And I'm joined, like always, by...
Rachel.
No, not by Sean, by... Rachel!
By me!
Yeah, so last week, Sean threatened... to basically not do the show at the end of the show. He did the show last week, very good if you listen to it. Very good by himself show. But he threatened the end of the week to not turn up. And I laughed while I was in my sunbed in France. How I laughed. And now he actually went through that threat, Rachel.
Yeah, I can confirm he's not here.
So Rachel, you've
been promoted.
I know you've been promoted. You're behind mic two today.
Yeah, I'm behind mic two, guys. I'm in Sean C. I'm feeling the power, to be honest. I'm excited.
Right, well, you get ready, Rachel. But anyway,
I will.
I don't feel we can really do this show without a little bit of Sean mention. So last week,
not.
Sean did the show by himself. Do you listen to it, Rachel? Sean,
I didn't,
Sarah?
Actually. Oh, I'm okay. Not going to lie.
Yeah, well, you're slowly being demoted now. get up your mic free.
I know, I'm terrible.
What commitment there, Rachel. No, but
I know.
So Sean did the show last week by himself. Mm. I was in France, sunning it away. I was actually listening to on a beach. No, not on a beach, by a pool, actually. That's where I was.
Specific.
So imagine this, Rachel. Sean is somebody who... He is my co-host.
Of course.
Radio professional. Known him for a few years. We've done many things professionally together. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, at times, he's my... one of my best friends.
I was going to say friends, of course.
Yeah, I'd say he's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
He's someone I rely on, someone I think to have my back.
Mm-hmm.
So when it got to 4 o'clock last Monday, I sat by the beach, had my phone all charged up, tuned in, thought, right, let's listen to the show.
Oh, you were ready to go.
Yep, I was ready, ready to go.
So ready to support.
So imagine my shock when I turn on at 4 o'clock and I hear this introduction.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Fastlane yet again. Between 4 until 6 p.m. today. Today we are missing my co-host. He's abandoned me. He's in France. He's on the beach. He sent me a picture on the beach. He needs to lose weight and he needs to do it fast.
Yeah, so...
Oh my God! Guys, if you could see my face, my jaw actually was on the floor there. Yeah. That is so mean!
Let me give you some context about this.
Oh my God!
I want to give context about this. So...
Please do.
How this worked was... I was on holiday, but I'm still part of the grinds, and Sean doesn't like doing social media, so I decided, hey, do you know what? I will promote the show for you. You have a busy show, you have loads of guests, very good guests,
that
by the way.
That is really kind of you.
I'll promote the show. But I couldn't promote the show because I wasn't there, so I thought, well, I'll just do a funny little photo. Do a funny photo of me by the pool, take a while to sleep by the people I'm with, and I was laying down in some bed, and I did look a bit chunky. And I shared the Instagram post, said, hey,
let's
guys.
Let's not speak negatively about
hey,
ourselves.
Hey, guys, tune
on
to Fastlane. Well, I'm not there. I'm by the beach, but Sean will be there.
And okay, so he's referring to this specific image.
Yeah, but what I didn't anticipate is he booked really good guests who all had a big following, and they all decided... that got sold 100,000 times.
And I saw a mini went viral, I'll be honest with you.
Oh my God.
In the most worst photo I've ever taken of me.
Well, that's just, that was just cruel. That was unnecessary of him now.
Anyway, do you want to hear something else Sean said about me?
I do, actually.
So he was talking to a guest last week, Mel, and she's a very good musician, and she talked about her influences.
Okay.
And she said her influence was Taylor Swift, and this was Sean's response.
Oh God, I can imagine.
Let me just load it up now.
And have you a favourite artist to cover?
Yeah, that would be Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
Oh, my co-host is obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Really?
He is obsessed with him. He's a 29-year-old man.
Oh my gosh.
Taylor Swift. Every week we have to have a Taylor Swift song.
Oh my gosh.
He's awful. I don't have a Taylor Swift song this week.
No.
No, it's a good thing. I've had it for the past months.
I'm a Swiftie for life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we did have Sean. We had two Ava Max songs, didn't we? The same song. Not saying anything there.
You had to do some Sean bashing. It had to be done.
Oh, it has to be done. But that's it now. Sean, hopefully you'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. You deserve a break. It's well deserved. But if you want to keep me and Rachel company today, mm-hmm. you can do that by texting us on 085 124 1616. That's 085 124 1616. Today, Sean has still... is part of the show because he's organised our guests. So at 4:30, we're going to have the band LB in for a interview. I hope that's the name. I should have really asked him before. But that's who we have at 4:30. And obviously, we're going to have general chat with me, Rachel, mm-hmm. plus Am I the Problem here. Weird news, viral news, got a lot to say this week. And that's it. But I feel we should first of all go in to our charts.
Yes.
So every week, we like to go into the Billboard top three in the first hour, like to count it down. And this week on the Billboard number three, which has actually been demoted from the last few weeks, it is Fast Car by Luke Combs. So you listen to Fastlane at Cork City Commuter Radio, and this is Billboard number three, Fast Car by Luke Combs.
Driving down the bypass to have a laugh, it's Fastlane with Ryan Jones and Sean Collins.
Yes, that is Ava Max with Not Your Barbie Girl. And maybe we'll talk to her later on. Who knows, eh? Anyway, so she's not the only... She's the only one who's saying not your Barbie girl this week, because the Barbie movie's been released, Rachel, and it is massive.
Yeah, it has.
My TikTok. It's taken over the internet.
It's taken over everything.
It's massive. Like,
it's just crazy. Like,
when I
everywhere.
Heard about it, I thought it was going to be really cheesy.
Because
there were those released pictures of Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling on the beach, you know, skateboarding in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, it's going to be awful. And you know what? Looks all right.
You know what? It's just been going on forever. Mm. Like, I feel like the marketing for it, like, obviously the marketing budget is, it's just endless. Like, they're just doing loads and loads of marketing for it. But I feel like when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, that's exciting. And then I was like, when is that out? 21st of July. And that was like three months away.
Yeah. But
so I'm excited.
But the weird facts about it is, because it's about marketing, but it's been about all the weird facts behind the scenes. So like, did you know, this one fascinates me, it caused a international shortage of pink paint.
I did actually hear that.
Yeah, so they literally painted everything so much. So if you wanted a certain shade of pink, or even pink in general, you weren't getting pink for at least 3 or 4 months.
That's crazy.
Because they took up the whole entire budget. So it made me go deep more into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out another fact. Like, did you know that Amy Schumer was originally meant to be cast instead of Margot Robbie?
No, I didn't know that.
No, but she... She's turned it down, and in the end, Margot Robbie got it.
Mm.
And here's an interesting one about casting. Ryan Gosling originally declined the role of Ken.
Okay.
But the makers begged him to do it. He kept saying no. And eventually one day he was out in the garden. He watched his daughter playing with her Barbies and her Ken.
Aww.
And she threw Ken on the ground and ignored Ken.
Fair.
And he just felt, I need justice for Ken.
Oh, that's a cute story.
So he emailed like Greta Gerwig, who was in charge of the movie in Mattel, and just said, yeah, no, I'll do it.
Oh, I feel like he's a good Ken. I feel like the casting for both of them is very spot on, in fairness.
It does look good. Like, Margot Robbie could do anything.
Margot, I was just going to say, she can do anything. So, like, she's going to be good no matter what.
Exactly. I'm seeing there's any more interesting facts. They all had a bar. Obviously, they had Margot Robbie had a pink jar. You had to wear pink on a certain day. If you didn't.
Yeah, I did hear that.
The money went to charity.
Yeah, that's a really cute one.
That's a really cute story. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is really good. But also, just to annoy Sean now, because I know he's listening, let's talk about Taylor Swift tickets.
Woohoo!
Because this week... Now, if you, as you know, if you've been trying to get onto the Eras Tour, which has been, by the way, legendary for Taylor Swift. It's been a great tour. If you watched in America, it's been brilliant. I actually surprisingly didn't agree to do pre-sale.
Really?
No, just like, it's one of those things where it's a year away. I don't really know how I'm going
to be. It's a year away. It's so hard to know like what's happening. I'm not getting tickets because I won't be in the country.
No. And I'm not that fascinated to do it. So,
but... Do you know what? Can I say something controversial? I like Taylor Swift as much as the next person. I've seen her in concert at least twice. And like, do you know what? Like, she's grand. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
I think, well, apparently in 2018, she was touring out and you couldn't give away her tickets.
Really?
It's really hard to sell Taylor Swift tickets.
You know what? I saw someone on Twitter saying this. I don't know who it was, but they were basically like, yeah, similar to what you're saying. Like back in 2018, you couldn't get people to take the tickets. Like, and now everyone's talking about it, can't get their hands on them. So it's like, what's changed?
I think I saw that on TikTok. There's a guy, I think it's Rape Center, said that he was given the tickets for free. And then he lost the tickets and he went, I'll see what I can do.
What changed there? I didn't even realise that. Like, what? Like, how did she go from like not being able to sell enough tickets to like being so in demand?
I think TikTok's helped her a lot.
Do you think?
I think the tour TikTok's helped her a lot.
Yeah.
I think COVID has helped as well.
COVID has helped.
People want to see these big concerts. So if you want to get the pre-sale tickets, if you agree to pre-sale, you'll know this anyway because you would have got a link and stuff. But the link will be sent out with a verification code on Wednesday the 19th of July. You will then have to get it on Thursday the 20th of July at Pacific Times, depending what concert you want to go to. So
yeah, isn't there different links for like the different concerts?
Yeah, so if you want to do the Friday 28th of June, in 2024, you have to get your tickets at 11 a.m. If you want to go on the Saturday, the 29th of June, it's 1 a.m. And if you want to go Sunday, the 30th of June, it's 3 p.m. It's 1 p.m. by the way, not 1 a.m.
Yeah,
wake up. Get tickets.
Alarm set.
And the tickets do vary in price, but you know, the average price like is 86 to 126.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it?
It is. Well, there's VIP packages for like 400, 500.
I just think anytime it comes up on my TikTok or I see anything about it online, it honestly looks like the most complicated thing ever. People are like, okay, so Taylor Swift, there's like the general sale, then there's like the pre-link sale, and then there's the code, and then and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so happy I'm not doing that. Stress of it, like
it looks too much. I just like
I've never seen like a concert like tickets been like this complicated before. Like,
oh, it is. And also, it was like the Ed Sheeran ones, remember, they were complicated because you couldn't just stop talent to have your license and that's what it was, mad, right?
But people are still just buying them. Is it still on Ticketmaster?
Still Ticketmaster.
Is it to help Ticketmaster like not crashing, basically?
The UK. We might come back to it later, but I think they've already crashed the website in the UK.
Oh my god!
Pre-sale. So yeah. Anyway, so what do you think? Are you trying to get Taylor Swift tickets? Are you trying to get Taylor Swift tickets? Are you in the pre-sale? Were you not able to get them? Then please let us know. 085-124-1616. That's 085-124-1616. Now we will have a Taylor Swift song later on,
of course.
I feel he's going to our number two. So on the Billboard chart this week, a number two. And finally, he's been demoted from number... Well, not finally, but it's nice to have some variety. This week's number two. Since we started doing this, he's been number one on the charts. But this week, he's number two. It is Morgan Wallen with Last Night.
Driving down the bypass to have a laugh, it's Fast Lane with Ryan Jones and Sean Collins.
There we go. That was Over the Bridge by Elby. And we are joined live in studio by singer-songwriter Seamus Allen and also Emily Norton. So welcome, first of all.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Perfect. So first of all, obviously, the most obvious thing to ask is, you know, tell us a bit about yourself and the band.
Shane's trying to pick it up.
So myself and Nora started the band 2-3 years ago. And then for this set of recordings, we got Emily in to play keys. And she'd done a great job, and we kind of begged her to stay, you know. So she decided to join. And then we got new bassist James Moon in recently, and we've just been playing ever since and gigging a lot more and writing more tunes.
When did you start? Because see, you released first LP back in 2019. So were you doing stuff before then, or was it just around that time?
Yeah, it was probably around that time. So obviously, if you're a musician, you're probably always writing songs. So I would have met Nora around 2019, and then we just sort of decided to go and record. And that was my first experience of it, so that's the first iteration. And then we sort of just went on from there.
Yeah. So we just listed Over the Bridge. I've listed a few of your songs, like the back catalog, like Loan to Move, Together. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was quite, like, because you sort of feel like, to me, like I'm not musically gifted, but it feels like you've got a very unique sort of genre. Because when I was listening to it, I was thinking, like, what's the genre? Because there's a bit of pop, there's a bit of sort of indie. How do you sort of describe yourselves genre-wise?
I suppose the way you described it. Yeah.
I don't get the music.
Like, yeah, kind of like, I'd say, like, it is, it, like, it, I suppose they're all different, you know? Like, there's some of them are more kind of love songy, ballady kind of, and then some of them are more rocky. I suppose, like, folk, pop, rock was kind of the best way to describe it for a while there.
And as a band, then, so what was your influences then for the music you create?
We all have, like, none of us have the same music taste.
Really? You're all different? Yeah. Okay, that's kind of good, though.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of draw from each other, I suppose.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
I think that's the way it sounds, not like anything else, because it's just like
a mishmash.
When you sort of write songs, if you're all sort of into different, like, for example, like, Seamus, what's your sort of musical influences yourself?
So I like a whole range of stuff. So it goes from Elliott Smith to Slipknot, you know, like that kind of range. So I just generally just muck around on the guitar and try and write something that's half decent and then bring it to the guys and then they make it good, you know.
And like, Emily, what about yourself? What are your sort of musical influences?
I suppose my main biggest influences as a musician would always have been like Jack White, would have been massive. White Stripes was my favourite band as a teenager. And just that kind of simplicity and blues and rock is like probably my favourite way to play music, and then so him and Tom Waits then would be kind of my main two influences.
But then, like, when you like write songs together, then if you like all into different sort of music, I'm just fascinated by this generally. If you are like, if you do different, like, is there ever sort of like that democracy thing of like someone might bring in quite a rocky song, but maybe someone who's into indie or jazz might go, oh no, it's a bit too much? Is that, how's that sort of work then as a band and writing process?
I think that, like, because Seamus writes everything. Like, Seamus will write the guitar melodies and the vocal melodies for everything, and then we'll work it together in rehearsal, and Nora will kind of work out a drum beat first, be the first thing, build a bass line on that, and then see what direction it wants to go. Yeah. Like, it's about the song. It's not really about what, you know, I don't like writing a rock song, so we're not going to write a rocky song. If the song sounds rocky and it lends itself to that, then it's going to go that way.
I was just going to ask, sorry, because I'm intrigued, how long would it take you to write a song, usually?
It depends. Like, some songs just come together in one day, and then some of them, we've been at them for, like, a year, and they just still don't sound right. You know, I think it really depends.
Yeah.
Some of them, you really have to dig them out, and then some of them, it's just like, oh, this is actually, it's just...
It's, like, done. It just kind of happened.
This may sound like a cheesy question to ask. This is what, as, like, in the comedy industry, we hate being asked this, but where do you get your inspiration for your music? Where do you get crazy ideas from, guys?
I suppose, lyrically, it can come, like, you know, I think I was in Glastonbury one year and I was maybe a bit worse for wear one morning, and I just was taking in my surroundings. Or it could be something less exciting. You're just maybe going for a walk and just words pop into your head.
Yeah.
Melodies probably just go with whatever music it is.
Like Hazy, isn't it about just partying?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I've seen as well, because I've got a list here of, like, you know, you've had various records, but they've been played, obviously, today. We play a record out today, but you've had, you know, the BBC have been playing your songs out, Red FM, like all the low Cork ones, and, like, you know, I know obviously you've peaked with Cork City.
Obviously.
You've peaked now. You can give up now. You're not going to go beyond this.
Finally.
But, like, how do you feel about, like, how does that feel when you hear your music going on these like really big, like, you know, stations?
Mm. I think it's great. I think whatever music, I think the fact that you've made something and it's reached that far, you know, even if, you know, you never know, there might be one person somewhere that's listening that actually is like, oh, I like that. And if that's one more person that, you know, that you've managed to create something that they like, I think it's really cool. Like,
I'm happy the guys in the band like the stuff. Everybody else is a bonus, like.
Because I'm looking at the Spotify as well. Like, Over the Bridge, we just played you into, that has 41,000 streams. You know,
does it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, like Known to Move is 6,400. You know, like, so how, so,
oh my God, that's a lot.
How is that like for you stream wise? Like, you know, can you get the streams going? Do you think that helps you when you tour? And
streaming's a funny one, because obviously it's great to get streams, but I think a lot of it is the luck of just getting on a good playlist.
Yeah.
So that 40,000 one was just like us getting on like a big playlist for like a month or two, and then it was like, oh, this is big numbers.
Okay.
And then,
who was it? Someone was saying to us as well recently that summer releases don't do well because everybody's off doing other stuff. Like, they're not paying attention.
Like, so would it kind of depend at the time of the year or things like that?
I think I think it all plays into it. Like, because when we played, when did we release Over the Bridge?
I can't remember.
It was like springtime, wasn't
possibly
it?
Yeah.
So I think, or no, it probably was before that.
Yeah.
It was like autumn, I think, and so that would have just, you know, people are kind of settling back into things, I think. Yeah.
That's funny. I never would have thought that would have influenced like how many streams something would get, but it makes sense. Like, yeah.
No, it's interesting, because like, let's talk about like just touring and, you know, how you play gigs. Because I believe you're playing, because Sean, our producer, heard about you via the Flavours Band. I think we had him on a few weeks ago. And you supported them at, I believe it's called, let me have a look, the Cypress Avenue.
Mm. We unfortunately did cancel that.
Did you? Oh, well done, Sean. Thanks for having me. God bless.
So throughout the years, we've played like, we played the Workmans, we played Fred's, obviously, Staple and Cork.
Yeah.
We played there, actually we supported Ways of Seeing there on Wednesday. We played Conway's Yard.
Oh, that's a lovely spot.
It was great. Mm. Yeah,
it was actually really cool for a gig.
Yeah.
Ways of Seeing, you should check them out as well.
Yeah. So we just play wherever it'll take us as well.
And do you see a difference in cities when you play? Like, what is there a difference between Cork and Dublin, for example?
Well, Dublin, you really have to kind of draw your own crowd.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that we notice is that obviously in Cork, I think we're a lot more known, so you'll get people that maybe have been before.
Yeah.
But if you go away to Dublin or even possibly up the north, like, you just, some straggler will come in and be like, oh, actually, who are you guys? And then they come up and ask, you know, which is kind of nice. So it's nice when you get people that haven't heard you before coming in and then making their way to come over to you to ask who you are.
Well, that happened a lot.
I think it happens to most gigs. There's always one or two.
Nice.
Like,
it is nice having the homecoming one where the one at home. Like, our first one back there after a while was in Fred's, and it was packed, like, over capacity. And it was,
that's nice.
And finally, you have a new single released called Hazy. So before we play it, do you want to tell us a bit about the song?
So Emily kind of touched on it earlier. It's just about, you know, one of those evenings where it's just like, there's an energy in the air and everybody's just having a good time, and everybody, you know, you have a good evening and then everybody gets home nice and safe and just have a good time, you know, something like that.
Like a nice summer evening.
Yeah.
A few drinks.
Yeah.
Sun setting. Easy vibes.
Yeah. Give your level of intensity from here to there, whatever you're comfortable with, but it's just about a good night, like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, listen to this on Spotify as you stagger home from the pub. So anyway, thank you very much for coming. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming to ourselves. And we're going to play your new single, Hazy, which is available on Spotify to download, so give it a listen. This is Hazy's by the Yellow Bees.
Tonight.
down the bypass to have a laugh. It's Fast Lane with Ryan Jones and Sean Collins.
Yes, this is the Fast Lane of Cork City Community Radio. The time is almost 4:50, and you're joined by me, Ryan Jones, and guest host this week, Rachel.
Yes, I'm here.
Perfect. Now, Rachel, it's time to do
my favourite part.
Our favourite segment.
Yes.
But first of all, Ashley, how did you feel about your first interview?
Yeah, I was. I had fun. I enjoyed it. They were really, really good, weren't they?
Well, first interview on court with us, you know.
Yeah.
You've done interviews.
Yeah, I've done interviews, but yeah, it was good. They were really easy to talk to, so it was helped, you know.
No, they were lovely. Well,
they were lovely, and their music is class.
Oh, do you know, it's really good. All our musicians' music is really
good.
They
are, yeah. You know, there's so much actual talent in Cork.
There is.
Like, so much musical talent. Like, everyone we play here, like, is really good. Like, I'm always just astounded by that. Like, he asked me after the interview, he was like, do you play? But he asked me, and I was like, play music? Oh God, no. Like, I am just terrible. I just think it's so fascinating when people are so good at things like that, you know?
Oh no, it's really good. It's like saying, like, you know, that's what, you know, Sean tries to do, and he tries to put the guests.
You do get good interviews, Sean. I'll give you that if you're listening. There's a compliment.
See, your week of negativity towards me is going to be
thrown. We're fighting back with positivity.
Yeah. Hashtag be kind.
Yes.
Anyway, speaking of be kind, let's now judge people. We're having a problem here.
In a world where people of the internet post passive-aggressive stuff about each other online in the hope strangers will agree with them, you are now entering the courtroom of Judge Ryan and Sean. The problems are real, the people are real, and the rulings are final.
Don't you find the justice system fascinating?
Now all rise for the Honourable Judge Ryan and Sean.
We, the jury, find the defendant, innocent.
You idiot.
Or am I the problem here?
Yes, this is Am I the Problem Here, our staple segment of our show, where we ask the question, are you the problem here? So, have you ever had an issue where you thought, hold on, was I in the right or was I in the wrong? Well, we will tell you. Now,
we're here.
Here's the thing, right?
Yes.
Me and you usually agree a lot on a lot of the things.
Yes.
So I feel this can be a very short segment for us.
Yes, I just said before we went back on air, I was like, Sean's not here for me to argue with.
I know.
So it could be very boring. We'll wait and see.
I'm going to have to fill that role, I think.
Yeah, maybe you'll have to just switch it off.
I have picked a lot to make sure we do fill the next 7 minutes.
Okay, in case we're just like immediately agreeing every single
song. So again, anything you get to pick. So okay. I'll read out all the titles.
Okay.
So, am I the problem here for addressing my cousin as Mrs. and not Doctor on a play setting and telling her stop acting like the world revolves around her degree?
okay.
Am I the problem for purposely not intervening and letting my sister cause a minor accident with my car and making her partially pay damage costs and teach her a lesson about distracted driving?
Oh my God, a lot of family problems here. Okay,
that's a long one there. So
you're like, don't pick that one.
Am I the problem for wanting to wash our bed sheets once a week?
Okay.
Am I the problem for taking my toddler on a daddy-daughter date without telling my wife?
Okay, that's just
so just to recap, stupid. Do you want to hear about calling someone Mrs. rather than their official title of doctor? Do you want to...
I think I'm going to jump in. I'll go for the sister one in the car.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I know it's the long one. This will fill the segment, though.
Okay. So...
it's like the effort you're putting into this.
Me... I'm a 25-year-old man and my sister is 18 years old.
Okay.
Let's call her Christy because that's her name.
Okay.
I don't think that's her name, but like... Has recently gotten her license and she thinks she's an incredible driver and can handle the car no matter what.
Mm.
After only 4 months of driving, she's already become one of those girls who puts their phone in between their thighs, looks at messages while driving.
Oh no.
It drives me insane. Other family members have talked to her about it, but it goes in one ear and out the other. Yesterday, she did it again. While driving my car, we were out doing the shopping, and she'd been distracted for almost the whole drive and either continued to look at her phone after a brief break when I told her to cut it out. When she was about to roll into a parking spot, she probably got a message, looked down her phone, and I know she rammed into a lantern, and where I'm sure she wouldn't have caused damage to other vehicles, I decided to let her run into it instead of intervening. So she was going to crash and he went, go for it.
Okay, I understand.
It was a huge shock to her, and she sat there for completely still for like 15 seconds processing what happened. It wasn't until I said, will you learn to get off your phone?
Mm.
She said, why didn't you tell me? And we both had an argument about this. So basically they had an argument. And
Did she reverse into like a pole or something?
Yeah, so she drove into a pole. So she was about to park, she drove into a pole, looking at her phone.
Mm.
The damage in the end was 200. Was 200 this bucks?
200 but, pounds, so, euros, whatever.
Euros, yeah, whatever. It's 200. Well,
that's not a lot. That's not a
they
lot.
They don't want to hide their American. They're American. They don't want to
okay,
hide
these
it.
American. Well, that's not a lot when it comes to cars.
They hit 200 bucks. And she's completely refusing to pay it. And she's told me to claim I have insurance, claim the insurance, and now I'm not. And I'm trying to teach her a lesson. Who's the problem?
Well, this is interesting because I've actually had some car trouble myself lately. So I feel like I actually reversed into another car. So it wasn't great. And I haven't had my license long, and it was just, yeah. So I feel like I understand the brother's frustration that, like, he thinks, you know, like, you're a great driver and you know everything when you actually don't, because you're looking at your phone all the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of think, on the other hand, although, I kind of think, like, fair play, he's, you know, teaching her a lesson.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm like, that's a very expensive lesson. Like, he just willingly let her damage his car. Am I correct in saying that?
No, I think he's in the right, actually. I'm not trying to be.
Yeah, no, but isn't it kind of, like, a bit extreme that he was willing to let her damage his own car?
I do think
in order to be like, haha, you should.
He should have said, no, we do, stop.
Yeah. It would have been really hard in the moment to just sit there and not say anything and be like, oh my God, stop. Like, you're going to, you know,
yeah,
crash into that.
I think you've got to learn his lessons, and if she is like this with her phone, I think, because sometimes you can tell people all you want, but unless it happens to them, they're not going to learn it. It's like,
that is true.
But that's the thing with driving. I've had a few incidents driving, and to be honest, you learn every time. You know?
You do learn. I had my first tip now this past week, and it was honestly terrifying. But I think I'm a good driver, so I don't feel like I needed to learn the lesson, but maybe I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like I kind of... I don't know, like, I feel like I kind of agree with him, because it's a good lesson to learn, and if she's not, you know, paying attention on the road, like, that's obviously dangerous.
Yeah.
But perhaps he was a bit too extreme, and also if I was him, I would just be like, oh, she's going to figure it out by herself, like, I'll just not get in the car with her. That's what I would do if I was him.
Yeah, you see, well, funny enough, even though I thought we were going to run out of time, we actually aren't going to run out of time. So, quick final, so your final verdict is, you think it's a harsh lesson?
A little bit of a harsh lesson, yeah.
I don't think it is. I think it's a fair lesson. And if he's willing to take
the hit with his car, yeah.
Like, if it was someone else's car, like, if it was just, like, some random guy's car,
yeah,
I'd be like, no. But, like, I think...
Well, she will remember this, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's a lesson, so that's it. So, but what do you... But, actually, what do you think? Do you think it was a harsh lesson, or do you think it was the right lesson? You can let us know at 085 124 1616. That's 085 124 1616. And we're coming to the end of the first hour, which means we're going to go into news. But before we go into news, let's play this week's Billboard's number one, the charts.
Okay.
So it's not only is it a different number one, it's a brand new song to end the charts.
Okay.
Debut number one.
I'm
and
excited.
This artist, you'll know, she's had many number ones. She's done very well for herself. She's so young, 18. It's Olivia Rodrigo.
I think I know.
Yep. Yes. She was a summer hit last year with Good For You and Driver License. She played the marquee in Cork last
year. She makes me feel not good about myself. She's so young and has done so much, but anyway.
I'm at that age now. We'll talk about it after break, but for now, about how young people make us feel awful about ourselves succeeding.
We'll put a pin in that.
First, let's play the brand new single by Olivia Rodrigo, Vampire. Listen to Cork City Commuter Radio. After this, it's News with Andrew.
The satisfaction asking her.
You're listening to Fastlane on 100.5 FM with Ryan and Sean. You've heard the real news. Now it's time for the weird news on Cork City Community Radio.
Yes, thank you, Andrew, there for the real news. But no one wants to hear about the real news today. Boring, yawn.
Boring.
We want to hear about the weird news stories. So
yes.
I've got a few headlines. Now, there is one headline we are going to definitely do, so you have no choice.
Okay, fair enough.
But you get to pick two other ones, Rachel.
Okay.
So either Hong Kong urges people to stare at smokers in a disapproving way to create a tobacco-free city, or aggressive sea otter caught on camera stealing a surfboard.
No, I just don't want any more sea or bird related things, so I'm going to go with the smokers. This one. No, you don't want to do it.
I should have bought. Do you know what? I should have bought.
Well, do the one you want.
No.
Do
no,
the
no.
sea otter one. It's okay.
I haven't read either of them. So we'll work out what happens, shall we? So, okay, so Hong Kongers are urged to stare at smokers in a disapproving way to create a tobacco-free city, and maybe tut if you want to. No, didn't say that. I made that a little joke. Professor Lo Chong Mei in the territory of the territory's health minister has said anyone who's lit up in a restaurant would be unlikely to hit back if you stare at them.
Okay, but are people allowed to smoke in restaurants, sir?
This is what we need to find out.
This is information I didn't know.
So, cigarettes can harm the health of all, and Professor Lo told the meeting of the Health Council panel on Friday that when members of the public see smoking in non-smoking areas, even if there's no law enforcement officers to show up immediately, we can just stare at the smokers. When someone takes out a cigarette at a restaurant, everyone on the premise can stare at that person. And I do not believe the person would carry on doing it.
This is bizarre.
To be fair, like, it depends what culture it is. Like, cause I'll say, if you did that in the UK, you stare at someone, they're going to fight back.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think an easier way to combat this, if people are smoking inside, is just, like, bringing a no-smoking ban, like Ireland did.
Yeah.
Instead of encouraging people to stare at people.
No, I feel there is one, but people just do it anyway. That's what's happening. Again, we have to look into that, but we don't know. But
that's, that's kind of funny.
So, there we go. Stare at people.
I feel like that's a very flaky bit of advice. Like, it could work, it could not work. But I mean, realistically, if someone is having their cigarette and they're enjoying it, if you're like, they're not going to care if they're getting stared at, are they? They'll probably stare back at you.
Yeah.
And usually, smokers travel in packs. Like, no, if not, like, do you know what I mean?
No.
Like wolves. As in, like, people who smoke, if you're in a smoking area, like, most 9 times out of 10, it's like 2 or 3 people are friends and they go smoke together. So, like, are you really going to be that one person to, like, smoke or to stare at, like, a bunch of people?
Yeah. Well, I know someone said to me that when smoke ban came in Ireland, it was probably one of the most loneliest times for them because they were non-smokers. So everyone just went out and smoked and they were stuck inside by themselves.
Oh, that is sad. Yeah, but, like, it's better that way. You don't want people smoking inside. I think it's absolutely disgusting.
So the next weird news story is more viral. So we're going to plug them together.
Okay.
So it's going to viral news.
Welcome to the internet. Have a look around.
It's time to look at this week's Fastlane viral internet news.
So this news story, I've got bits of it, but it's not 100% all together, but I've worked
it out through
listening to various podcasts about it. So, and this is something that they think is going to be happening a lot now.
Okay.
So an 18-year-old is suing his parents for putting pictures of him as a baby and younger on social media.
I had a feeling where that was going
without his permission.
Okay, this is very interesting, actually. Mm.
So apparently he's wanted, and they actually predict, like, so there's a podcast about this, and they were saying that they actually predict this is going to be something that's going to happen a lot now in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Because the first generation of kids who were put on Facebook
are going to be growing up.
Are growing up now and going, do you know what? I didn't want a digital footprint. I didn't want those photos of me when I was young on the internet. I didn't want these, you know, I didn't want this footprint.
Yeah.
Because I always think that, you know, those family vlogs.
I have actually strong opinions about this topic. I think it is.
Go on.
I just think it's crazy. And I feel like Saucony Jolies, they're that family you're probably thinking of. They do. Like, I know there's loads of people on YouTube who have these, like, family channels, but this family specifically, if people have watched them over the years, like, they're quite controversial. And I just think I've always thought it was bizarre. And even at, like, the height of their, like, when people my age were, like, watching Saucony Jolies or whatever, some of my friends watching them, and I was just like, why? I was like, it's so weird, like, their children are so young. It's always just been a strange concept to me, and I'm like, why are you putting a whole human being's life on the internet for anyone and everyone to access at any time, forever more, and they're a literal child, so they have no concept of this, and you're just like they're gonna grow up and see all this. Like, it's just, like, crazy.
Well, that's the thing, because when social media, so let's say Facebook really is really because of this.
Yeah.
So Facebook came out 2005, but it didn't come massive 2008, and that's when people started putting the photos.
Yeah.
But since then, kids have now grown up and they don't believe social media is as good as it was.
Yeah, see, I feel like that generation of children as well, like you were saying, like, they're, I feel like, okay, like, Facebook mobs, like, putting up pictures of your kids or whatever, like, I feel like most people do that, but, like, vlogs and, like, videos and, like, all about, like, you know, promoting, like, your family life and kind of, like, making that your living and all of that, like, this generation, these children are the first children that are going to grow up and, like, kind of fight back at that. So I think it's like, it's kind of like uncharted territory, do you know what I mean? Because it's just, it's never really happened before, like, so.
Yeah, which, like, for me, I like social media. I agree there's bad things social media, but I think there's many good things go to the bad things. But, yeah, like, Sean, if Sean was here today, he'd be arguing because he doesn't like social media.
Yeah, yeah, but...
So he wouldn't want the footprint.
What I was going to say about those children is they're probably going to be one of the first generations to reject social media.
Yeah.
A lot, because they're going to be just against it because of their parents and because of, like, or whatever, like, because their whole lives were online with, like, out their consent, like, basically. Yeah. So I think they're going to be very anti-social media, like, the first generation in a while that are going to be against it, like.
I do believe, like, listen, you know, I think it's going to become a problem now.
Yeah, because for sure.
Which, like, comedians, I remember, like, loads of comedians, like, grew up in the comedy world, and, like, they'll talk about their kids, and, like, there are DVDs of, like, comedians and Netflix specials.
Ooh,
and they'll talk about their kids. And yeah. It's like, well, their kid's now going to grow up and go, hey, isn't that your dad? Oh, you're the 5-year-old who did the silly thing.
Do you know what? It's like, it's kind of like they forget that, like, their children will grow up.
Yeah.
Like, your children are going to grow up and they're going to become their own people and their own, like, they're going to become adults, like, with their own opinions. And, like, if I was... Like, especially with the kids online and YouTube and whatever, it's like, think about it, like, when you're growing up or when you're in college, say, when your kids are in college, are you going to want all their friends to be like, oh my God, is this, like, the video of you, like, when your tooth fell out or whatever? Yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
Exactly. Well, anyway, let's know your opinion on that, because we've had a good discussion about it, but let's know what you think on 085 124 1616. It's 085 124 1616. What do you think about kids fighting back their parents now for years of being on social media without their permission? Please let us know. And I think we'll just end on quickly one nice little viral news story, which is a couple of minutes. And this is where social media is good. There was a viral news story about a author who was at a book signing.
I saw
the TikToker put him up.
I saw
and
this.
He sold loads of books.
Was he a guy like at a... He had, like, a blazer and he had kind of, like, white hair.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting, oh my God, I saw this. It was the cutest thing ever. So he was just at this little desk, and then this guy came up to him and he was like, he was doing book signings and no one was really coming up to him because no one knew who he was and he wrote this book.
Yeah.
And then, isn't it? And then this guy was like, oh, do you mind if I put it on TikTok or whatever? And he had his book on Amazon and it, like, sold out. And he has thousands of views, thousands of followers.
Yeah.
Did you see the video he put up and he's, like, thanking everyone?
Yeah, so sweet.
Oh my God, you'd nearly be crying. Like, no, it's so cute. Sorry, that was so cute.
And finally, we end quickly on do you want to make coleslaw ice pops?
Sorry?
Coleslaw ice pops?
I like coleslaw, so I don't know.
Do you want to be ice pops?
I don't know.
Do you want to put them in the freezer and make them ice pops?
That is so strange. Would you do that?
No, but that's the viral...
I feel like I'd be willing to try, to be honest.
That's the viral stuff we're talking about. And with that, it's time to go into this week's nostalgia song. Now, I did have one picked originally, but I actually feel, just use time as well, I think we should do this one here. I don't think this song needs an introduction. We talked about it earlier, obviously, the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
And of course, when you think about the Barbie movie, what do we think of? What song do we think of?
The Barbie Girl song.
Here it is. Rachel, introduce the Barbie Girl song.
The Barbie Girl song. What's it called? I don't know who's
Aqua.
Aqua. Oh, sorry. Of course. Apologies. The Barbie Girl song by Aqua.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. In plastic, it's fantastic.
Driving down the bypass to have a laugh, it's Fast Lane with Ryan Jones and Sean Collins.
And I'll write your name.
There you go, Blank Space by Taylor Swift. And of course, we spoke about tickets. And obviously, again, please let us know. Did you get the tickets? Text us on 085 124 1616. It's 085 124 1616. The time is currently 5:23 on the 17th of July. And this show is live. If you're listening to this on not the 17th of July at 5:15, then this is a pre-record. So, anyway, Rachel, so you had a bit of a rant about Taylor Swift there in the break, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was just saying... I just feel like she produces so many albums. Like, I was like, just take a minute. Like, just take a break. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I was, like, 1989, I really enjoyed that album. And then after that, I kind of mentally checked out. Because I feel like it's a lot of, you have to really invest it to be a proper Swiftie fan. Because she just releases so much music. Like,
I wasn't that big. I always liked Taylor Swift. But I went in and
like,
out
she's a good
her.
Singer. She's a good performer, good songwriter, of course.
No, it's madly iconic. But anyway, let us know anything about Taylor Swift on 085-124-1616. So anyway, Rachel, this is your section now. Is there anything you want to talk to us before we, in the next section, have a bit of a long conversation with you about things?
So my end section.
Yep.
I don't have a lot going on, I'm not going to lie.
No.
It's been very quiet. I just feel like summertime is a quiet time in general for everything.
Is Love Island still on?
Yeah, Love Island's still on, of course.
That for 3 minutes.
Do you know what? Love Island's not on my list to talk about today.
Hey, good.
Woohoo! I mean, Sean will be happy, but he's not here, so. But there's not really a lot going on with Love Island. The final is in 2 or 3 weeks, and like, there's just no really solid couples, so it's kind of funny, but nothing really to report on that front. Mm. Something else I saw during the week is obviously Wimbledon is on at the moment.
Yeah.
And I saw Rachel Blackmore, wow, butchered her name, Irish jockey. She was in the royal box with Prince William and Kate and their kids.
Oh.
Isn't that swanky?
It is.
I'm like, how did she manage that? With her boyfriend, who's also a jockey.
This is going to sound like an English thing saying it is, but it's so confusing to me when, because I was working at the race days this weekend and I was on covering the sports desk and they put a bit about, obviously, and the Princess of Wales helped lift, and it just blew my mind because I forgot we have Princess of Wales now.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? Like when you start, like that title is around again, like Princess of Wales, it is bizarre.
It's not been around 25 years, so you just start seeing it, Princess of Wales.
Yeah. That it is really, really weird, yeah.
Yeah.
But Prince of Wales and Princess of Wales were there, and Rachel Blackmore was there, so good for her. This is kind of could be funny to have an opinion on. It's about a name, a baby name. So do you know Fern McCann? She's like she's English. She's a ex-Towie star. She's like one of these reality TV people.
Oh yeah.
Basically, she had a daughter recently, and she has now revealed the name because everyone was wanting to know what the name was, and she named her child Finty.
Filthy.
Finty. F-I-N-T-Y. Finty. Finty. What
the
do you think
is
of that?
With these names, right? When you give a kid a unique name, isn't it fun? But they do, again, like we said earlier, you said they do grow up.
They grow up.
It's
they
so
do
annoying
grow up.
To have to deal with that.
People, your children are going to grow up. That's the message of today's show.
Because already, it's like, you know, it's going to be what's your name, Finty. They're going to have to think of a good nickname.
I don't really know what, like, she, I don't know, some article she said she just, I don't know, it was on her list of names for a while because she has another daughter called Sunday.
Yeah.
Now,
Sundays.
It's not as bad, but it's still not good, in my opinion. And she said that that child was born in 2017 and that this name Finty was on her list since then.
Yeah.
And I just think it's kind of ridiculous. Like, is that even a name? Is that even a word? Like, where did you come up with that? Like, it's just, yeah.
Well, it's like, if you want some reality gossip, because you're talking about reality shows there.
Always.
Have you ever heard of the show Below Deck?
Yeah, so, I have, but I haven't gone into it.
Oh, I love it.
Is it good?
It's one of my
favourite
shows.
It's on Netflix, isn't it?
It's on Netflix, on Hey You, if you're in Ireland, you can pay for Hey You subscription. It's on Bravo in the US, and it's brilliant. It's just...
Okay.
It's about basically rich people yachts.
Yeah.
And they just get staff who are... Let's, not very good.
Yeah.
And it's just basically...
And it's all the drama about the staff, isn't
it? Oh, it's great. So there's actually something at the moment where... they're on the Below Deck Sailing yacht, it's called, and they've got a girl called Daisy, and she's from Dublin.
Yeah.
And she's been caught in a thruple.
Oh.
So she, her boyfriend called Colin is on the boat, but she was having relationships with a guy called Gary before the relationship.
Okay.
And they're all best friends together.
Oh my God, that sounds very spicy. Yeah.
And tonight in America is going to be the reunion where it's all going to be coming out, and on Instagram it's been caused a lot of beef because Daisy's preempted the response and tries to defend herself, and Gary's gone in with his response, Colin's gone in his response. Okay. So it's going to be electric. So
honestly, I have to say there's nothing more I love than reality TV drama.
I live for it.
Love it. It's just so much fun.
Anyway, Andrew's in studio now. So Andrew, what do you think about reality TV drama for the headlines?
I don't know anything about reality TV drama, to be honest with you.
That's fair enough.
That is one subject I know very little about.
It's just a good way to, like, ironic, but to escape from reality.
Yeah, do you know what? It's one of those things where I will watch, like, reality shows if I want to. It's what I call my cooking TV. So it's like I'll have it in the background while I'm eating dinner or I'm cooking, so I don't have to rethink about it.
Yeah. Like, it's probably turning your brain to mush, but it's just something good to switch off, like, you know.
What's more compelling about reality TV drama than regular TV drama?
Like, what do you mean by regular TV
drama? Real people.
With actors.
Oh, with actors. What, like...
like why is like it more Fair compelling if it's like reality TV?
I don't know. I can't explain it. It's just like the way they the way it's produced. Like Love Island, like I will just always watch. Like this season is good. I don't know. It's just because you know, I suppose it's fake, that like they're being fake, but like you just kind of like let them have it, like, you know? Yeah. And like Love Island say, like, they all say like, oh, I'm going on for love, blah, blah. But like, you just know they're going on for like the followers and stuff.
Oh, exactly. Anyway, before we go into news headlines, let's just chip in with regular co-host Sean Collins, who has said reality TV makes me sad, it's a fail on the human race. Thank you, Sean.
I just think the world is sometimes a depressing place. It's fun just to watch something silly.
It depends what it is, though. Like, depends. You know, it's, you know, like this football drama is really good, but ultimately I don't care. And that's the thing about these seasons, these reality shows. You care in the moment, and you forget about it the second later. Like,
100%.
This is the problem. I follow, anytime there's a Below Deck season, I follow all the cast
on Instagram. I always do that.
A year later, I forget who they are.
There's just something about like becoming obsessed with these new people. I can't explain it.
Because they then put a story up, and I think, who's this?
It's kind of like you found and you're like a fan of someone, like, do you know what I mean?
There's one for Manchester who I follow, and I keep thinking every time I see him, oh, he must be someone I went to school with. He's not. He's gone on reality TV.
I do that all the time. I follow the Love Islanders or whoever, and then like a few months later, I'm like, why am I doing? Like, I just unfollow them then. Like,
I always wonder, is there any bit of acting in reality TV?
It's all scripted and produced.
It depends on the show. Like, I'd say, yeah, for some of them, probably. I know for Love Island, like, I mean, obviously, I don't know, but, like, they say the people that come out, that, like, the producers push them in a certain way, and they say, like, oh, you go for a chat with this person, or you do this, but, like, they don't put the words in their mouth, like,
well,
you know,
interesting
kind of
about...
Because you can't make people say things.
About like, Below Deck the Thruple, when this drama's all kicking off on the boat, the last charter guest happened to be guests who are in a thruple. So that's obviously produced. That's not luck. That's that they have researched and they've got someone in. So anyway, that's enough chat about reality TV, because it's time for news headlines with Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. What a great thupper we are. Anyway, it's time to go into our next song, which is Tattoo by Loreen. Yeah, that was Tattoo, and that was a Rachel pick this week.
Yeah, it was. I'm very happy I managed to get Loreen on the radio show. I love her.
I always thought that I couldn't do it because I can never find a radio-friendly edit, but then I just found
one.
Turns out it was radio-friendly.
Well, I love, when I say I love her, like, I love that song and Euphoria. Her two, like, famous songs.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we're going to have an interesting old chat now, because this is Rachel's first time presenting this show and co-hosting. But unfortunately, and I think this is the right music... This is actually Rachel's last time with us.
I know, it's like a show of firsts and lasts, us.
I know, yeah. So this is your last show of us, because after this you're resigning.
I'm off, I'm going to America.
I know, ending on a high.
I'm ending on a high, yeah. So I'm going to New York on my J1 graduate visa.
Right.
On the 17th of August, which is actually a full month from today, 17th of July, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I only have a few weeks left to kind of like pack up my life, sort myself out.
I know, yeah.
And yeah, this is why I've made this difficult decision.
Yeah. Well, this will be interesting because, like, listen, we'll obviously miss yourself because, you know, I'll miss your contribution with the thing. I was actually through some of the podcast and I was remembering the thing, the best chat we had was the headphone one. Do you remember the headphone one?
Oh, yeah.
We had a real long debate about showing the headphones in public.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I'm going to miss you riling up, Sean. I'll miss that.
Yeah, that's always entertaining. Entertaining for me too.
You love an argument, even.
Oh, I do. I love rising him.
You
it's
two,
easy.
You two argued on air and then off air got very scary.
I know, we're great friends. I had fun too. It was great crack.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Yeah. So, but obviously, I think this is be interesting to, you know, let's just talk about yourself, really.
What do you want to know?
Well, first of all, let's talk about, because I guess loads of people will be looking to do this because I'm fascinated by it myself. Like, tell us about the process of actually packing up your life, going to America, talk about the J1 visa, talk about what you plan to do and all that stuff, if you can.
Well, The process is kind of straightforward, but also kind of complicated all in one. So basically, it's a J1 graduate visa. So you have to be a graduate from third level education to do it in the first place. And then you have a year, within a year of graduating, to go. And then once you go for a year. So I heard about it when I was in college last year, when I was in fourth year, and I just thought it was a great opportunity. And like, I know a lot of people my age are going to Australia and immigrating to other places and things like that, but I just thought you can get visas to most places at any time. Like, this is very much like a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
So basically what you do is you have to go with an agency, because you need sponsorship, because you can't just kind of, like, you pay this agency like money, but you can't kind of go without sponsorship and like organize your own embassy appointments, because it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I went with a company called Re&J1. So they are like, you know, most people go on like J1s for the summer and they go through an agency, but what's the one people use? USIT and things like that. I haven't heard great things about them, and this agency that I'm with, they only do the graduate visa.
Yeah.
So that was kind of why I went with them, because like they know what they're doing. Like,
yeah.
So you go with them, you set up, you kind of like, you know, they inquire about you or whatever, and they want to like make sure that you're serious about doing it. So the first step really is, once they kind of suss you out, is you have to research, and this was painful, research 20 or more, 20, 30, 35, I can't remember, something around that, possible employers for the industry that you want to work in. So for me, obviously media, and who are in New York or wherever you want to go. So like, you can go to Washington, you can go to, you know, Chicago, like loads of different places. And you have to like research, find them on LinkedIn, find them on Google. So someone who's working in the area that you want to work in where you're going, and that like, who's maybe has some connection to Ireland or who is Irish, like who would be likely to hire an Irish person.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of build up this whole portfolio of names and contacts and email addresses, and then you send it to them and to the agency. And if they approve it, then you pay them the money. Yeah. And then once you pay them the money, you set up a sponsorship call. So then once you have the sponsorship call, then the next step really is you take out the insurance for the year, because you have to have insurance to do it.
Yeah.
Then you have to go to the embassy. So you book your embassy. This is why I wasn't here last Monday, because I had my embassy appointment. Mm. So you have to go to the American embassy, which I thought was going to be scary, but actually wasn't that scary. It was more boring, because they take your phone at the start, so you can't go, like it's a lot of waiting around, and you can't go on your phone, so you're just standing there. It's really weird. Like, I kept going to like go in my pocket for my phone, it wasn't there.
I'd give her that point. I'd be like, I don't need to go to America.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, it was so that was so boring, because my appointment was at 8:30. I wasn't out till like 10 past 10, like. And then once you get your visa, you book your flights, and now you're at the stage that I'm at, which is you're just actually trying to find a proper job and then find accommodation.
Yeah.
But actually, so there you go.
It sounds like a lot of things, but is it actually quite, it's not as scary as it sounds, because
it's kind of like, it is and it isn't, if you get me, because if you're planning on going, then you know well in advance. Like, I've been kind of planning this for almost a year basically, so you have a lot of time to put all the pieces together. But it is like, the process itself isn't complicated, but it is daunting, because you are like, it's likely that I might go over with no job, and then I'll find a job when I'm over there. So you are kind of like packing up your life and moving mountains for something that you don't know is 100% going to work out. And like, think of like America, like think of New York City, like you're just one person of millions, like, so it's going to, like, finding a job is going to be probably the most stressful thing.
No, that's good. No, it's going to be really good. Like, just for yourself here, like, what made you want to come to Cork City Community Radio and do this?
Interesting question. I wanted to do it because I had two jobs at the time. Both were working from home, and one was like digital journalist, one was a homepage curator. And I just thought, I've always had interest in radio. I did it in college. I did journalism in UL, and we had radio modules, and I just thought I didn't have like enough knowledge on the subject. And I just think when you work in like what we work in, you can never have enough experience. So I kind of wanted to have something else that I could put on my CV that I say, you know, that I could say I did. That was different to my jobs, and just something like sociable. I kind of, like, that was kind of my main thing. I kind of wanted to be, come in here, have the chats, like shoot the breeze, and yeah, and just get more experience in radio in general.
No, brilliant. And then, so fine. So obviously you're off in a month.
Yeah.
But obviously, like anything, you can come back as much as you want. Obviously, in that month, you want to pop by, you want to contribute, go for it. Me and Sean will be happy to accept you back.
Thank you.
But I think now I'm going to let I let you pick another song to play us into the next Vox Pops.
Okay.
So what song have you picked for us?
I've picked a Kylie Minogue song. It's a new one, Padam Padam.
Perfect. So you're listening
to be my choice.
Rachel's pick, Padam Padam, Kylie Minogue. The time is 5:42, and after this, we're going to have our regular weekly review with Siobhan for TV and news, for TV. But first, Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue.
Driving down the bypass to have a laugh, it's Fast Lane with Ryan Jones and Sean Collins.
There we go. That was Dua Lipa with Dance the Night, and that is from the new Barbie album that we have spoke to death about on this show.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm going to see it.
Anyway, it's time for Siobhan to give us a review on Barbie. So Siobhan, what do you think about the new Barbie movie? It's upcoming.
I am buzzing to go see it in the cinema.
You're just going to go see it?
I really want to go see it in the cinema.
Oh. Well, when you go and see it, let me know. You can give me a full review.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I have no clue when. I'm going to try go see it in the cinema anyway. I'm going to try my best to.
It does look really good. It looks actually... I don't know if it looks good, but it looks interesting. I think it's one
of
those...
You have to go see it. I mean, with all
That's the thing about it. Like, the thing is, like, because it's been hyped up so much, you just don't know if it's going to be good or not. But then again, it's directed by Greta Gerwig. She's directed Lady Bird, Little Women. So, like, there is a chance it could be good. But then again, you know, even if it's good or not, it's going to be a fun time regardless, you know?
Oh, definitely. So anyway, Siobhan, apart from the Barbie movie that we're obviously all going to go and see, tell us, what should we watch this week on Netflix?
Ooh, what will you watch this week? So, with Netflix, you have the return of Too Hot to Handle Season 5, and they've brought out their first 4 episodes, and then you'll have a continuation out of weekly episodes then from there.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So, obviously, for those who haven't seen Too Hot Handle, what is it about very briefly? And what season season 5, is it?
Yeah, season 5, I know. I'm actually really surprised it's been out that long, to be honest.
Whoa.
So, Too Hot to Handle is basically, if you're like a fan of Love Island, Love is Blind, any of those kind of shows, basically, you have a group of singletons. They think they're going on like a whole different reality show, but turns out they're going on a show where they cannot do any sexual activities, not just like even having sex. They can't kiss, they can't do nothing, they cannot touch each other, and obviously they'll have maybe some temptations come in, aka bombshells, to kind of tempt them. And even if they try anything, like kiss each other, anything like that, if they do any of it, they are docked money, because there's a winning prize of a good amount of $1,000. But if they break any of the rules, the money is docked. But if they can redeem themselves, the money can be gained back, but they have to be like really careful about it.
There you go. Lock yourself in the bedroom. Problem solved. Anyway, what's on Disney Plus?
So Disney Plus, you have the show. What? Ooh, yeah. You have the movie The Darkest Minds out at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect. What's The Darkest Minds about?
I haven't seen it, but I know that Amanda Sterlingberg stars in it, and she played Rue in The Hunger Games. That's the only thing I know about this movie.
Perfect. So give that a watch. And finally, what's on Amazon Prime? Would you be recommending?
Yes. So Amazon Prime has finally, and I watched it myself on Friday, and I was so happy it came back. They have the new season of The Summer I Turned Pretty Season 2, and they've just released its first 3 episodes, and then it will have more episodes to come every Friday from then on.
Perfect. And finally, just one little quick interesting point, just to bring it quick for while you're here. You put down one of the films to recommend, obviously. I'll butcher the name now of it. It's the one with Christopher Nolan. What's it called?
Oppenheimer?
That's it. So the actors this week walked out in alliance with the ongoing writer's strike. And obviously they're saying now this, with actors and writers also on strike, this could really affect the industry, couldn't it?
Yeah, no, it definitely could. No, I think it is. It's just, they do have to start paying their writers and their actors. It's like, because it is going to affect a lot of things, like, because it's not just like, it's like, it's with the writers, they're creating stories, pay those people, the actors, like, whether they're doing streaming services, studio, they, like, these big studios have to pay the money, like, it's just, because, yes, some, there's going to be some people who might be getting paid less, some people might be getting paid more, but, like, regardless of the job you're doing in the entertainment industry, pay the people, because I was shocked when I actually even found out that the actors, that they didn't have an actor strike since, I believe, either the 1960s, the 1970s, or the 1980s. That is how long.
Well, it's taken 60 years for them to align and actually do it together, so this should really, you know, push it forward, hopefully, and hopefully writers will, you know, be paid. Anyway, Siobhan, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Of course. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
There, that's Siobhan there for Week Review. She'll be back again next week at 5:45. And that means now it is time for the show to end.
Oh.
There you go. So this is Rachel's last show.
Yeah, it is. It went really quickly. Sad music again.
So. No, it does. Yeah, oh, it does go quick. Yeah, so it's last show. Rachel will be flying out and off she goes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Enough of that.
Any last words you want to say, Rachel, on air?
Wow, you really put me on the spot. No, I just feel like I had a really good time doing the show with you and I will miss it. I had fun and I really enjoyed it and I'm happy that I came to Cork City Community Radio and I wish you the best for it because it's a really great show.
No, perfect. Thank you.
And I'll be supporting and listening, I promise.
No, brilliant. Thanks for coming. Thanks for contribution. And this is the end this week. So it's been me, Ryan Jones. Sean Collins hasn't been here. I hope he'll be back next week. But if not, we have a show lined up anyway. We have a finalist in the Westmeath Bachelor of the Year contest. That is judged by various celebrities like Louis Walsh will be coming to chat to us.
Oh.
Plus we'll have just great music, great songs and a great laugh.
Yeah.
And like always, I think we've got to take this time to apologise to Ava Max. We're sorry we didn't get to you this week. We've been too busy. We had to say goodbye to Rachel.
Yeah, we had some things going on.
We had a lot going on, you know. But we promise next week we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
I think I've got a slot available for you. But Ava Max, we apologise. I will talk to you next week. But for now, we're going to end on this song of the week, which has to be an absolute classic. And to be honest with you, needs no instruction, even though I'm going to give it. It is Pink, So What? And if you enjoyed the show, you can listen back to us via the podcast. If you want to listen back to this show, you want to listen to Rachel's debut presenting, or do you want to go back through Rachel's back catalogue of being great?
Aww.
Follow us on, go to any podcast app, Fast Lane with Ryan and Sean. Ryan Jones, Sean Collins, the Fast Lane podcast, and you can listen there to our whole back catalogue. But for now, to end, it will be So What with Pink. See you next week.